Why in the world was this movie made?
What I thought was interesting about this calzone from Osteria La Buca is that they do like the ragout and the moots, and then they put broccoli in it. And that's like just their normal calzone with broccoli in it. And it was really good. And then I went overboard and I also got sausage in it because that's an optional thing. And if I had it to do over again, the sausage was a little much. I think it would have been fine with just the cheese and the broccoli. And I think the sausage took it a little too far for me, which, you know, I like sausage, but I definitely...
Did it make it too salty or something?
No, no, there's nothing wrong with the sausage. It was just, like, too many damn flavors.
Heavier.
It was, like, too much... Yeah, it was heavier, and it was just too much flavor. I think it was a big calzone. It was not quite big enough to have to split into two and have, like, one for half for lunch tomorrow, but it was way too big for me to eat in a sitting, which is what I did. And I think if I had done it without the sausage, it probably would have been perfect. But anyways, it's a little pricey, but it is a top-notch place. One of the few good Italian places in Los Angeles.
Colin, what did you think of Pizza Wagon's calzone?
It was really good. My one thing was, this is what I was telling Harris, is the one thing that goes wrong sometimes is when all the ricotta is in the same place and it doesn't distribute.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was like perfect. It was really good. The shape... You got to have, like, it has to look like there's, like, a sphere inside a crescent, and then, like, it's kind of molded together out of clay.
How are the ends? Because the ends have to be soft. If they're too hard, they're inedible.
Yeah.
But if they're nice and soft, that's perfect. They should be, like, maybe the best part of it, where it's just got a little moots in it and a little knot of bread. You dip that in some sauce, and it's perfect.
Yeah, and it has to be the right amount, too, because too much bread on the corner part, you're, like, you're not eating...
Yeah.
Calzone, you're eating a bread and like a filling separately.
I was telling Harris that what I like about it is like it's a good size, because either a calzone is too big and you have to cut it in half and like eat half of it there and then save half for later or whatever. And I've never had one that's too small, I guess, but this one was like the perfect size for a single person sitting.
Too small, you know? And it's an empanada, you know.
Yeah. What if somebody should make like empanada sized calzones that you can just like eat in your hand?
I'm sure Totino's does that already. What, Hot Pockets? That's the idea behind Hot Pockets.
I think you're right. I think I just invented Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
Colin, you might be unfamiliar with this term, but on the East Coast, we have something called garlic knots.
Yeah,
that
I know
are
what it
like
is.
A staple of Italian restaurants, and out here it's like they have no idea what I'm fucking talking about.
No, they
like,
have it at places. They have it at places.
They do.
The ones at Prime are good. I don't like the ones at Village. Larchmont Village Pizzeria.
Yeah.
The ones there are usually like because you can get slices at Village, and the slices are good. But, like, I fall into that trap of, like, I don't know if I'm going to get full off the slices or if I'm going to order the right number of slices. So I'll just, like, put a garlic knot on there. Like, at Village, it's, like, the knots aren't next level enough. But the Prime ones are really good. They have those, like, the chunks of garlic. And they've got, like, you can see the bread soaking up the oil and stuff, you know?
You're making me physically ill. You know, I can't eat garlic knots. They're basically poison for me. They will make me lie.
Why is that?
Because I can't eat garlic. I have a garlic, like an allium intolerance. I can't eat garlic or onions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can straight up take a bite into the clove.
Oh, my God. It's so, like...
I
love garlic.
Excellent.
Well,
I just inject it into my veins.
I used to love garlic, but it started poisoning me, so I can't eat it anymore. If I have a garlic knot, I swear to God, it's like me chugging a bottle of laxatives if I eat a garlic knot, except it might work faster.
You guys don't chug bottles of laxatives?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like when Colin chugs a bottle of laxatives, you know, to settle a bet or on a dare or just for fun.
So wait, like I want to tell you guys about the pizza shop I used to work at, but you have to like
make fun of it. I will.
You
I promise.
You have to not scrutinize it with your like with your dogmatic.
Wait, Matt, did you ever work at a pizza shop? Oh man, I was gonna say we could have gone 3 for 3 if you had.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Colin.
But Conan's in Austin. It was a deep dish place. It was like
Conan's Chicago. A good Italian name.
it was named after like the Barbarian. There were a bunch of Frank Frazetta pictures all over the wall, and stuff like that, and like actual comics, actual like Conan comics, like sealed into the tables, you know, where it's like clear coat.
Seems like a cool idea.
It was dope. So they made deep dish, and like the name of
first mistake.
The name of the ones with, see, you got to listen to the story, okay?
Like, I'm listening. Like, I'm sorry.
Accept that this is real. Accept that there is a reality outside of the Pizzadrome, okay?
All right, continue with your quote-unquote pizza place story.
So, like, you know, the whole theme was like Conan or whatever. So the Supreme or whatever, it was called the Savage. Okay, and it had everything, and they had, because it was the deep dish thick crust, they had like an extremely hot oven, and so they were able to use like the actual raw sausage and hamburger. And what we did is, like, you make the crust with the deep pan, you go meat first and then the sauce, which creates a meat sauce in the pan when you're cooking it, and then the rest of the toppings, right? So, you know, that's how we made them. We had this guy come in. He was like 400 pounds. He was so huge. And he would be like, look, I know how you guys make the pizza. Like, I know how you do the toppings, like, and then the cheese, and then you put it in the oven. Can you do the toppings and then the cheese and then another layer of the toppings and the cheese? And you can charge me for 2 pizzas or whatever you got to do. But, like, can you do that for me, man? And I had to like go back to my manager, like, this guy's asking for 2 pizzas in 1 pizza. Like, I'm not sure we're allowed to do this. And he's like, oh no, he comes here. Like, you got to let him do it because he won't go away. if you don't make this pie for him, he will not leave.
I feel like that's like in violation of your Hippocratic oath as a pizza maker.
So one time he came with,
sir,
like,
in good conscience, I can't.
I cannot murder you with this pizza, sir.
The guy was trying to die. He had a death wish. This one time he came with like his sister or like his family member or something. And he's like, hey, look, I'm going to buy a soft drink, but I need you to put the beer in the soft drink cup because I don't want them to know I'm drinking beer. But you got to put it in the soft drink cup. Go back to the manager again. I'm like, it's this guy again.
Just give him what he wants. His eating is keeping his place afloat. That man pays your salary, Colin. Just give him what he wants.
But I'm like, this guy's trying to die out here.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Oh my God. I don't feel like I have to put down that place because they're not making pizza. They're just making deep dish, which is a whole different
thing. We had another
thing, and it sounds delicious. It actually does sound really good.
We had regular pizzas also, and what we did on the crust was the braided crust. I don't know if you guys are ever fucked with that.
I have seen braided crust. I've never actually had
but
it.
I had to like actually twist the crust. It was like
you were a crust braider.
I did the whole thing. I was the entire process. I was the cashier, the cook, and the like waiter, you know. This
Chief
place
cook
was very
and bottle
small
washer.
Yeah.
It was Little Caesars, you know.
Well,
it was
cool.
A really fun job, though.
I worked at a pizza place in high school, where it was a couple of guys from New York, and they came to New Britain, which was the next town over, and they opened up like downtown where there was foot traffic. They opened up a pizza by the slice place that was like New York style, and it was really good, and everyone went nuts for it because like it was like there's good pizza in New Haven. That's New Haven style. There's good pizza other places in Connecticut, but it's hard to get like good New York slice, like the big flat floppy slices like they have in New York. And these guys were doing stuff like that, and they were selling it by the slice, which was also really unusual. And then they expanded, and they opened up a pizza restaurant in my town, which has no foot traffic. And they were doing pizza by the slice again. And you really cannot have a pizza by the slice place with no foot traffic. We were just at the end of the day, I would just throw a box, like pack like 3 pizzas worth of slices into a box and take it home and give it to all my friends the next day. And, you know, because they were just throwing out so much pizza because they had to have all these slices just in case somebody came in, and then nobody would ever come in. But I was their delivery driver, and this is before you had like GPS in your phone. So I had to like have a map of the town and find out if, like, if some random place in some random road ordered a pizza, I had to like look up on my map where that place was and go find it. And when I wasn't doing that, I was folding pizza boxes, which was the most fun job. I didn't get as good as those pizzas, those people who could just like whip them out and fold them in like two moves, but you get pretty quick at it. And I would just fold pizza boxes all day. It was kind of fun. And it was free pizza.
The other thing about Conan's that was interesting was, the cash register was the same cash register from 1972 when they opened, and we were expected to like use it. And if you made a mistake, you had to like completely start over. Like the whole day's take. Like you had to like do two different books on the whole thing.
Oh my God.
And like it was so bad. And yeah, they had the delivery drivers had like big charts of like, this is the delivery area, this is like the map, like all that stuff, you know, because it was, they could do like MapQuest, but we didn't have a computer to print it out because we had a 70s cash register.
I never worked at a pizza place, but I used to work for this Italian guy who, he owned like the whole like strip mall, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there was like a deli, which is a thing that in New York, there's like a deli on every corner and like people just come in constantly and you can get, you know, it's like quick pickup stuff, but there's also like sandwiches made to order. And they're bomb as hell. It's like that, but like not super expensive.
Exactly.
And yeah. So yeah, I did delivery for that, and he would like cater events and cater parties and stuff like that. So yeah, I drove like a big van. I would have to deliver like huge like pallets of food and like those long like 6-foot sandwiches and stuff. It was a lot of fun, but also no GPS, and I had to use like an actual map that was like falling apart, and like there was a leak in the van, so every time it rained like water would come through, and like the map got like wet at some point, and you could, like some of the pages you couldn't even like make out anything. So finally MapQuest came out. So what I used to do is I would get my orders and then stop at my house, which was nearby, and I would go on MapQuest, print out the directions for all my orders for the day, and then like use that. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we used to have this book called the MapSCO, and it was like a book, and then the back of it was an index. So you go, like, the street name is like Evergreen or whatever, and you go to Evergreen, and then it's like, this is on page 40, G6, mm-hmm. and then you go, like, page 40, G6. And then you have to work your way back.
Like this.
From,
right.
Yeah, and you have to work your way back from page 40 to whatever page you're on. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, and then, mm-hmm. then you could find the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, technology's awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of technology, I've crunched the numbers and I've got our Mortal Kombat averages in.
Wait, which movie was better? Which movie won the competition between these two? Dynamite.
Well, you'll be surprised to know. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. So, all right, let's hit this. So we got two movies, so this will be pretty quick. Number two on our list is a classic movie, classic for all the wrong reasons. This, of course, is the second movie in the Mortal Kombat franchise, otherwise known as Mortal Kombat Annihilation. With a average of 1.5.
That's so
this...
bad.
Seems high. Are you sure you checked your math? Yeah.
Yeah. But Colin gave it a 5, but it was balanced out by the 2 zeros given to it by Jesse Lyons and Harris McCabe. And I, of course, gave it a 1 for good measure. So 1.5. Do we have any score changes that we want to make?
Can I
or
go down?
Anything we'd like to say? Yeah. You can't go negative on the Timothy Dolphin scale, unfortunately.
I mean, I don't want to. It's already averaging to 1.5. Do we really need to kick it while it's down, you know?
I don't know. 1.5 is a pretty respectable score for a movie this bad. No, this seems pretty, that seems like an appropriate score for me. Somehow it ended up with a very appropriate score. I do agree that overall it shouldn't have a score of 0, even though I rated it a 0.
Yeah, 1.5 seems fair. I mean, it is a movie. They made a 90-minute motion picture with people in it who agreed to be in it. There are effects, if you will, that dazzle the eye.
It was, I'm sure, a source of embarrassment for everyone who worked on it. And I'm sure they all feel the profound sense of shame they deserve to feel. But they also, I assume, all got paid. So, you know, it all balances out.
Yeah. And it's not the same actors from the first movie, but they did stay through the entire second movie. No one quit in the middle of the scene.
There was no recasting mid-film.
Except Johnny Cage, of course.
Which it wouldn't actually, this movie's bad enough that it wouldn't have shocked me if they were like, oh yeah, like Sonya just is played by a different character in the second half and they don't even explain it.
All right, so I think it's safe to say that we are locked in for 1.5, which rounds up to 2 points. So
now that feels
high. 2 points. All right, 2 points. We are locked in for Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Next on our list, you can narrow it down. There's only one movie left. It is the first in the series. A high bar or a medium bar to attempt to get over that the second movie didn't. It's much higher rated. Colin gave it an 8. Harris gave it a 6. I gave it a 7. And Chris Bashan gave it a 6, averaging out to a 6.75, which rounds up to a 6.8. 6.8 for Mortal Kombat 1.
Okay.
Wait,
you going to round it again?
Yeah,
we rounded 1.5 to 2.
We rounded Mortal Kombat 2 by a whole number, and we round...
No. I averaged it out. The numbers average out to a 6.75, and that, we're rounding up. So it rounds up to an 8, a 6.8.
Why are you rounding to the tenth
first
place
decimal point
when you were rounding to the whole number?
Yeah,
on
you rounded 1.5 to 2, but you rounded 6.75 to 6.8.
Yeah, no, 5. When it's like 5 and above, you round up to the next number.
Yeah,
you guys
so 7.75 is above 5.
It's the decimal place is the thing.
I love how this is.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It should be a 7 is what it should be.
Yeah. You're like 1.5, that rounds to 2, but 1.75, that rounds.
Would only round to 1.8.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's very
Don't
late.
Don't question the magic, okay? It is very late.
It's our second show of the night.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That was
Do
good.
We have
that
any score
funny.
Changes here?
That was good
Do
content.
We feel that's fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that all seems very accurate to me.
All that mishmatch of numbers seems pretty accurate.
Yeah, 6.8 seems about right to me. I round 6.8 right, so up to 6.9, actually.
So. Yep, we're a lock.
What else do we do in these shows? They're usually not this short because we usually... It's a good thing we talked about Italian
have more
food
movies,
for a while.
Yeah. Well, let me adjust my math here, and then I'll tell you what the series averaged out to.
I feel like you should just tell us what math you're doing right now so we can make sure.
I'll double check it later. So the series averages out to a 4. 4.13, to be precise. That is our lowest rated series, of course. Just under, where is it?
Exorcist, right?
Exorcist.
Yeah.
Exorcist, which was an even 5.
And, you know, that makes sense because these, it really hampers you to have one of the worst movies of all time in your franchise. It just kills the whole franchise score.
Yeah, and maybe it wouldn't be so bad if there were like two more Mortal Kombat movies that were, you know, good enough.
Yep.
On par with the first movie. But yeah, I mean, it really does hamper you when you've just got these two movies and one of them is god awful.
Yeah. I will say this. The Exorcist had The Exorcist 2, which we all really enjoyed, even though it was terrible. So I think there's if your franchise just has the longevity to have a few more movies in it, it can avoid being a complete dog. But when you just have two movies and one of them is just such a turd, it there's no recovering.
And, you know, we're going to see what's going to happen with the third or reboot of the Mortal Kombat. And the listeners can find out what we think about that by logging on to www.patreon.com/L2W.
Nice. Built-in organic commercial. I like it.
Yeah, it totally sounded like how I normally talk all the time.
at this point, I think our Mortal Kombat 2021 episode is already out on Patreon. So if you want to check that out, go to that website that Colin just said, which of course, again, is www.patreon.com/L2W.
That's because we use rounding in time as well. We round it off. Yeah.
And because we already recorded it, I can tease that Colin says something very offensive that will definitely get him canceled when you listen to it. We were all very shocked when it came out of his mouth and just, you know...
Yeah, it's taken a long time to rectify what he said.
Yeah, we've forgiven him, and he's trying to make amends.
I just finished my community service.
Yeah.
All right. It's a pretty short show. I mean, do we have anything else to say?
Nothing to add. Only that Colin better think of something good to say when we record that other episode.
Okay. Maybe I'm going to try to think of more words that rhyme with spawn. That's my best material.
Did you do lawn?
Yeah, I did lawn.
Oh, okay.
Remember? I was like, we know who has the better mower.
How about Brawn?
Of spawn. Brawn! Oh, yeah.
That would be a good one.
Or what about the porno version? Dong of spawn.
Yeah, that's a slant rhyme.
Spawn
we don't count slant rhymes.
Spawn doesn't
have a G in it. Yeah. Damn it. If said with the right tone, that could work. Someone could make that work.
Who are you, Snoop Dogg? This is no slant rhymes. I'm going to be legit rhymes.
I think we did everything then. He said con of spawn. That doesn't really work.
Yeah, that was one of the weaker ones.
Said.
And he had to mispronounce con.
Yeah, but I love the setup because I referenced The Sting, the Robert Redford movie.
You like the setup because it took longer than the joke.
Yes, I did. That's absolutely correct. That's the way it should be.
All right.
I guess that's it. Yeah, all right. Shortest episode ever, maybe?
No, I think
I guess all these twofers are going to be like
this.
20-something minutes.
It says 24 minutes.
I can't believe we milked a half hour out of...
Let's force it to be longer. Point. Let's just kind of... Let's try to force out some more talking. Tell me about your emotional, journey.
Emotional content.
Well here's a question. Here's a question. Mortal Kombat, right? If you were making the franchise, what would you have done to build? I mean, I feel like there's many video games. This easily could have been stretched out to a workable series. I mean, for one, I wouldn't have introduced so many characters in the second one.
Yeah,
that
is the first thing I was going to say, is fewer characters.
Yep.
Yeah. Put a few choice ones in there and then allude to a sequel at the end, you know?
They should have cut out Baraka entirely as soon as they saw what the costume looked like.
Or they should have just not had so many of the other characters and invested more in the Baraka outfit and made him the guy. I don't know, he was a popular character in the game that I think a lot of people liked. I don't know why they weren't gearing it around the popular game character,
I don't know why they needed every iteration of that same costume,
stupid robot
in
guy,
different colors.
Oh,
no,
the ninja guy.
You know how Scorpion and Sub-Zero and there's
the palette swaps. Of all the characters they introduced two palette swap Scorpions and Sub-Zero characters no one gives a shit about.
They put in every single palette swap character in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then two palette swap fucking robots. Who gives a shit about the robots? The robots are the lamest characters in the game, too, by the way, I think.
Totally. So, they don't fit into the world.
I like Smoke, really.
Well... That's proof positive that it's kind of lame.
The story of Mortal Kombat does kind of suck. It's totally a video game plot that no one gives a shit about. That you just play the game to mash buttons, we've talked about. So I mean, I guess another major thing I would have done is to make up a new story or take liberties with this story and make it cohesive enough for a feature film instead of just
What's interesting is
I hope the new movie does that.
I mean, what they try to set up organic fights between these people that end up being one-on-one fights. But how many times do they use that gimmick where the main bad guy comes into the room with a bunch of henchmen and the girl takes the henchmen and the guy takes the main bad guy so they can have like a one-on-one fight. And it's just, I don't know. What's funny is like the recent games, Mortal Kombat 10 and Mortal Kombat 11, abandon like the fighting tournament idea of it. And they just have, they have like their story mode where you just go through like a story-based adventure from multiple perspectives. And then
much like this movie.
Yeah, randomly you have like random fights during it. Which I think like that the story in the video game is more interesting than either of these movie stories were. So I would just probably rip off one of the video game stories. Like just, you know, not completely, but you know, follow that kind of the elements of it. Because they've refined the mythology a lot more and they explain it more clearly in the games than they do in these movies.
Would you be interested in like a Last Starfighter, Jumanji, one of those type of things where the main character of the movie is a real person and the game world takes place in the game world or something like that?
That is interesting. Like someone gets sucked into the world of Mortal Kombat
and they're so like, it's like where Kano might actually rip their heart out.
Or like the corniness of the story can be addressed. Like the character be like, this game story doesn't even make any sense. And they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like a real person could communicate with Liu Kang in some way, like, or telepathically, or like they're witnessing it somehow. Or like Last Action Hero, where the kid is constantly like telling Arnold, like, we're in a movie. And Arnold's
use your fatality.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that could be interesting, but it also could be super cheesy. Yeah.
I just thought maybe that's some
that
kind
is
of direction
a direction
they could
that
go.
It
yeah.
could go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for the new movie, the main character is actually not a game character. They added a new character in it. And I don't know if I like that. I mean, I don't want to judge it before we see it, which obviously we've seen it, and you can all tune into Patreon to see what we thought about it. But but I am sort of against this idea of adding a new character. Maybe I'm just gun-shy because of the Street Fighter adding new characters in their movie that then became lame video game characters.
All right, what if the new character is Colin Shaw and his finisher is the Punality?
No, it's Colin Shaw fisting Colin Shaw and using him as a sock puppet. Colin Shaw in Colin Shaw.
Oh, yeah, Colin Shaw is Colin Shaw in Colin Shaw. With Colin Shaw as Colin Shaw.
Colin Shaw bursts and from his own Colin chest Shaw. And bites his own head off.
And introducing,
Colin Shaw.
Featuring music from Colin Shaw and the Colin Shaw Band. With performances by the Colin Shaw Dancers.
If Christopher Nolan directed Mortal Kombat, what would it be like? Super, like, realistic.
And very
stripped down.
Equally confusing, I think.
It's like, how do you...
Confusing, time would be fucked with.
How do you say Mortal Kombat backwards? Hold on, it's like... Tabok...
Tabmok.
Tabok Lar... No, Tabok Lat-Rom. Tabok Lat-Rom.
Tabok
Lat-Rom.
I got nothing.
Yeah. I think we've said.
All right, guys.
Probably said too much.
We did it. We've said too much. Yeah, Mortal Kombat, RIP, or hey, maybe it's alive again with this new movie. As of this recording, we have not seen the new movie yet. I'll just say it out loud.
In case that wasn't obvious.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're ruining the illusion.
Curtain. You pulled back the curtain.
It's real to me.
It's like the Wizard of Oz. You know, we're not magical anymore. We're just a little man.
Yeah.
Yeah.